everyone, and welcome to episode 119 of Fans of Power. I'm the man behind the mask, Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's going on, T-Rex?
Man, I want to apologize to listeners last week for my really god-awful performance. I was extremely tired, and I became under the weather not shortly after that as well, so... I want to ask everybody for my lackluster performance last week. I was not living up to being the spiritual gynecologist of the He-Man fan community that I take pride in being there.
That's a hell of a description, but yeah. No, I guess I never thought of it that way, but well, that's definitely you, me. But well, no, I mean, everybody knows. I mean, hell, you got the flu, I had the flu. I mean, the stuff's been going around, but at least you're getting better right now, so that's all that matters. And also, it's going to be hard to catch up because as we came on, there's been a lot of people in the chat room want to say hi to JSP, Jeff Prime, Christopher Dahlberg. Hold on a second. Just want to make sure I'm not skipping. Zen Brown, thank you for joining us. Chris Simpson is here. And let me just hold on. Just probably 10 more seconds. I got Zen Brown. Okay. Zentron is here as well. And I think I just got, oh wait, and V-Dub is here as well. Oh, and Ivan Mutovisk, oh damn, hey Ivan, sorry about that, I butchered your last name, but at least I got Ivan. So, no, good to see you all here, because I know some people might be, you know, getting caught up in the WWE pay-per-view that's on tonight, which in fact our producer is, he's involved watching that right now as well. So thank you everybody that's joining us live.
Cool. I'm glad to know we've got still plenty. Hey, well, if people turned out during the Super Bowl, I think it's not a shocker for people to still turn out for the podcast with Elimination Chamber. WrestleMania may be a different story, but.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what's going to have somebody wanting to watch, not watch. But, I mean, either way, they catch us live, catch us on a rerun. But there'll be a lot of different topics today. I mean, we're going to be discussing a lot of beginnings, if you will. One from a comic. One from something from the cartoon that maybe a lot of people haven't seen, but if you ever wonder, hey, you know, not to keep pushing it, but if a movie was ever to happen, two of the things we'll be discussing today are prime examples of things of what people need to read and watch to give you some idea of what this whole universe is about. So we have a couple of those that we'll be talking about, among a couple of other things, and if fans have any questions later, you know, towards the show, you can ask us any questions. We'll answer them as well. We'll open it to you guys in the chat room. But we're going to start off. Tyler has some cool things that he got. Wait a second. Do we have dirt? Oh, for a second, I thought I seen dirt or somebody down there. I don't know. I might have been seeing things. Okay. We're going to start off. Tyler has some items that he wants to show everybody. Kind of an unboxing and to give people a little close-up on things. What you got, Tyler?
I already have been unboxed. I don't do the whole unboxing live stuff. That's not my thing. I like to go and just unbox it and just let everyone know I got the Filmation Super 7 sub arrived yesterday. I don't have the Collector's Choice line. That should be here within the next couple of days. So possibly by next episode, I can review that on here. But I'll just kind of hold them up individually here. Tila first. Wow, I just noticed the definition in her butt there as I was holding this up here.
Oh, she's got a fine ass. I mean, there's no doubt they did make a very nice-looking ass for that.
For people look right there. Hopefully the light's not too bright, but you can see the crack of her ass there.
We got to give it to her because the one big thing that people were kind of let down at, and, of course, I don't want any of these figures, so I can't see them in hand and in person, but they were really concerned about her face, saying it looked like they really jacked up too much around the eye makeup or lips. I mean, what would you say is for her face on yours? Does it look a little...
No, if anything, I would say the tone is a little too pasty. But other than that, I think they did a very good job on her. I mean, I clearly got what people had said before when we saw the initial sculpts over. I'm like, yeah, I get what they're saying. But me personally, I think she looks great, other than her skin tone is a little too light. At least for me, when I look at the back of the box, you know, you get the Filmation comparison right there. And it's just, but that's not something I'm going to sit there and I've got to blog about it. I've got to report this. I've got to let Brian Flynn know, by God, you pissed me off, you know, and or something like that. No, I mean, she looks great. I mean, she's going to go on the shelf with the rest of the Filmation subs or sub figures that I've got set up here. So, I think she looks great with her, very unique sword and shield that she's used throughout filmation multiple times. Her hair, eyes, I mean, everything. She's in fantastic shape. I mean, I can't find anything wrong with her. I'm not an articulation specialist. As long as she stands well and she looks the way she's supposed to, which she does, bravo to Super 7, for is this being their first dive into the classics release. I think this first batch overall, not spoiling a thing, is quite the ass kicker.
Okay.
Next is Man at Arms. I've got him with his blast coming out of his wrist gauntlet here.
Oh, I didn't even know that that had an attachment like that.
Yeah, and he looks even better in person than I thought he did, in the pictures and stuff like that. I'll hold him up a little close there for people who may not have him. But I'm very impressed with Man at Arms. I mean, it looks very, very good. I love the grimace look on his face, the intense look of like he's, ready for battle. And I was quite impressed with this figure. He looks very, very good. Better than I would have imagined a Filmation Man at Arms to look, right? Because, like I said, I always often felt like Classics has received entirely too many versions of Man at Arms, but this one was quite enjoyed. I don't see any fault in getting. I mean, obviously, it's a particular Man at Arms, but it's a much well. It looks great. So it's.
Again, because again, to say I don't have these figures in hand, but as for Man at Arms, that's the one figure that I thought looked the best when they were showing the reveals. Like, I thought he looked great, and I thought Hordak looked great from, I remember when they showed the reveals, because I was like, damn, Man at Arms looks like he jumped out of the cartoon, so does Hordak. So if you're saying he looks that great, and I know how you're the Filmation expert, I definitely take your word that Man at Arms is fantastic. And also, hello to Adam Gabbert in the chat room. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed with Man at Arms. I really am. When I pulled him out of the box, like, wow, he looks a lot better than I thought.
Okay.
And then next, I've got Hordak himself here. He looks, I mean, he's a masterpiece. He's nothing short of a masterpiece. I mean, everything from his feet to the smile on his face. He is the epitome of the evil horde here in Filmation style in all his glory.
A real Filmation Hordak, exactly, a real.
Pack version that Matty Collector dumped on us all these years ago that so many of us bought into because we didn't think we'd ever get one.
And what all does he come with? What were his
He
accessories?
came with another version of Imp, which looks pretty good.
Is it the same imp that the other Hordak had?
It's a well. I'll just grab him here
Yeah, I'd
because
like to see a side by side because I don't have either of the imps, so I have no clue.
this imp that came with him is slightly slimmer. Like his head is a bit smaller. He's got a different look on his face. It's a much more well. Looking at a comparison here, the one that came with Hordak, the Filmation Hordak, looks a hell of a lot better.
Could you show up to the camera which was which and side by side?
This came with the Filmation Hordak. I apologize if the lighting's a little too bright there. And then this is the one that came with the Matty Collector or the Mattel version, not the Super 7 version.
All right, and now could you side by side? I'd love to see like how they look.
I don't know if I can get their faces just right, or you can kind of tell a bit of a difference between the two. It definitely shows in person, like there's a great difference between these two. Because when I saw upon first look, I couldn't quite tell a difference. But in comparison, the new one is by far the better one.
Okay, isn't that something? Because I can't know. You can see the slight difference when you were doing the, side by side. But that's funny. It's something that I think got overlooked. I don't know if many people even mentioned about the differences of imps, because I know everybody's so focused on obviously the main four characters that poor imp has got like the sidekick treatment. But you remember there was a time when everybody was clamoring to finally have an imp figure. So I feel like he definitely deserves to be acknowledged there.
And he was, and I was happy with the first one we got. I didn't, I was content with it, but this one looks really spot on Filmation. It really does. They went the extra mile and just it like his head is a little slimmer. His eyes are more close? Is it like the other one over here is like his eyes are a bit wider out?
Did you
Kind of
have
like
an imp chest as well? Did it come with the imp chest?
Yep, the imp chest right here.
And is that the same as the other one too?
I think he's got a different look on his face, I think. I got the other one back over here on the shelf somewhere, and then I've got Hordak's arm cannon. You know.
Okay. All
And
right.
my absolute personal favorite, I save for last, evil and sees everything, Triclops. And I know people were complaining that his outfit is too bright green, which I quickly had to correct. Well, the style guide filmation version of Triclops has this style of Triclops. So what Super 7 and the Horsemen did is still correct. It's not what you, but casual fans or a lot of fans were expecting. But to me, this is spot on Triclops. It's not the dark kind of four screen outfit, but still, God, he looks badass.
No, I mean, I love the head sculpt on that. I mean, it looks absolutely just like the cartoon.
What's that?
I said I love the head sculpt. The head sculpt looks just like the cartoon form.
Hold that up a little closer there. Yeah, the head sculpt is very good. All the eyes, you know, you got the distal vision and the you know, gamma vision. I mean, it's all there. He looks great from the hairstyle in the back, you know, the drapes out. I mean, he looks so cool. And of course, you got the mini comic sword,
Oh, did they?
which looks just pure kick ass there. So I'm trying to figure out to display it either with, I mean, because Filmation Triclops never used a weapon, so I'm kind of curious to put this with the classics version as well.
Yeah, kind of a nice little mix, you know, but like I said, give them a mini comics.
Triclops had two swords as well. Why can't he have his vintage sword in his sheath and then have the mini comic sword in hand? So that's probably what I'm going to do when I get them on display there. But all four are great. If you haven't received them yet, I don't think you'd be disappointed at all. If you are disappointed, I'm sorry. I'm looking at all of them right now. I can't find any fault in them. I really
No,
can't.
as for, you know, I mean, when it comes to Triclops, like you said, I know that he was shown, you know, obviously having the greener, darker armor in the prototype figure. And we know things change from prototype stage to the completed figure. And also within the cartoon, I mean, the color changes were vastly different if you'd actually look back at a lot of the episodes for many of the characters, including Triclops. There were times, and depending whether you watched it on TV, DVD, VHS, however made, and even in different parts, you know, like of the country, some people in Mexico watching it. Sometimes the colors were different for everybody. So I don't see a big problem with it. But I mean, I can understand when if somebody was seeing that the prototype and they were looking forward to the darker one and didn't get it, I can understand being upset. But hell, it doesn't take away from that being an amazing looking figure. That is a great looking figure.
Yeah, I'm so thankful to have this. And this and Hordak is what made me sub up for this one, because I came very close to not getting it just due to financial reasons. But I'm glad I bit the bullet and got it paid off. And I'm very glad to have these two in the collection. So I look forward to putting Triclops here to add some much needed green amongst the assortment of evil warriors I got on the shelf. And He-Man's finally going to have a couple of allies to put on the shelf next to him here.
Oh, they all looked great. No, I'm glad you got them, and I look forward to the next four figures you get this week, and you talk about them on the next episode. I look forward to seeing what they look like.
But those, I'm not, I mean, all four of those guys, I'm dying to talk about. Good
Yeah.
grief.
All right. Well, hey, again, I don't have them, but somebody sent me something. I appreciate it. They want to name anonymous, and I'll respect that. But as you know, I showed something last week. First, let me say again. Vintage Battle Armor He-Man. Now, again, I don't have money to get the real expensive ones, but somebody sent this, which is amazing, and I bought one just last week. They sent me those a Funko Raiden. And again, look at that. $9.99. You can't beat that. I'll give it to Funko. Yeah. What I say is Funko, I give it to you because you make a poor man feel rich. Because I can feel like even I can go get these figures and afford them. And they're so damn cool. They're very durable. The paint apps are insane. The details are insane. And at $9.99, it's nuts. And like I showed last week, I said I got, you know, Scorpion. And then I was able to find a Sub-Zero. And All the outfits are different, which is cool. It's like you think they would reuse the same buck over and over, but each of them have different looks. But the cool thing about these also, which I'm just going to do it live, I mentioned this on another video, that when you open them, if you remember the Ben Cooper Masters of the Universe Halloween costumes, how those smell, that plastic, that's what these smell like when you open them. And oh, I gotta rip that open. I'm smelling through my mask. I love that damn smell. And oh, that's so cool. And that's Raiden. He comes with some lightning attachments, but that's some damn good detail for a little $9.99 figure. Like, how the hell can you beat that, you know?
Man, holding that, how does it feel knowing that we got Thundercats and Conan coming that
Oh,
way?
and that's what's even sicker is the thought of, again, for $9.99, you're gonna get the main eight people from Thundercats, of like, let's say, the main heroes, the main villains. I know you're not getting Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Kat, but you're getting right off the bat, you're getting Lion-O, Tigra, Panther, Chitara, and then you're getting Mumm-Ra, Sly, Monkeyin, and I think Jackalman. I think you're getting all of them right out the gate. And then Conan. Like you said, this isn't based off of the old Conan comics. This is from Conan the Barbarian. So you're
Yeah.
getting, and I know you're freaking out. You're gonna finally have Arnold in action figure form, and Thulsa Doom, and Valeria. Wait, that was her name, right? I want to make sure I said her name right.
Yeah, Valeria and I think Subotai's in the lineup as well. I don't think he was painted though. I think he was kind of done in that.
And one other, because wasn't there five? I think there's five total, I think.
Fulcrum, one of Thulsa Doom's henchmen.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then to top it off for me, they're doing horror stuff and fantasy style. Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Pinhead, and Leatherface. I was like, yeah, again, you put $9.99, I'll find a way. I'll find a way to get them, whether I get them one at a time, but when they're at retail stores and you know they will be there and you can get them, I was excited. So, yeah, so thank you for sending this to me. This is freaking awesome. So, we both kind of had a little toy reveal. I mean, obviously, yours a lot bigger, but this is still cool as hell. And you can find these at GameStop, $9.99. Like I said, great deal.
Very cool. I had gotten a fan question a few weeks ago, and I told the guy I would ask it. So this is a little overdue, which is why I'm going to go ahead and jump and throw it at you. He's a newer listener. You can appreciate the guy's name, Simon Phoenix Carr.
Simon Phoenix. Wait, I know Simon Phoenix.
Joe.
Wait, stop it. Hold on. Simon Phoenix. Oh, see, now you're going to kick me because I don't know Simon Phoenix. I feel like that was from some. What movie was that? Simon Phoenix. Oh, Lord, you're going to hate me. I don't know. Everybody hates me in the chat room. I just don't know these damn names offhand. I know movies, but can you give me a hint?
You're what Nathan was complaining of Mad Monster. You're just a poser of all this stuff. You ain't a Jason fan. You're just some guy who calls himself a Jason fan.
Simon Phoenix was in a Friday the 13th movie?
No, I'm just calling you a poser in general.
What's Simon Phoenix? I'm lost.
Simon
What is
Phoenix,
it?
Wesley Snipes, the villain from Demolition Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember they had him frozen and then they brought him back. Okay, damn it. I admit I forgot his name.
Talking about that on Beyond Retro at some point, so you better get it right.
I'm terrible. Oh, Jesus, Dan Brown. Yeah, everybody in the chat room knew it. Yep, you guys all bring it on, bash me. And I should have known. I felt like I just watched it a couple weeks ago. They're eating rat burgers. He didn't mind eating the rat burgers. And then, oh, all right. So what about Simon Phoenix? What was the story? What happened? Because I got so distraught from not knowing the name that I didn't even know. Was there a point to what you said?
Well, I thought you'd get a kick out of the name, but unfortunately, you fell flat in your face on that one. When I heard from him, like, hey, man, you must be a fan of Demolition Man, he's like, thank God you got the name, because I've always got to explain what I mean or what my name means when people see it. So, didn't have to do it with me. Apparently, I had to do it with you, though. Okay, his question is, do you think there will ever get around to making a new He-Man film? And okay, yeah, that's his question, is if we would ever, if you know, we've talked about the movie so many times, but do we ever think it'll happen? And you know, we've argued about it, you know, frequently and notoriously, our thoughts on a new movie. We both want a new movie to happen, But I think by this point, given that in just over a month now, Sony is supposed to start filming on a He-Man movie with no director, no cast, no finalized script, it ain't happening. So what I'd like to say is that I'd like to have faith that a He-Man movie could happen, but it's got to get out of Sony's hands. They've got to lose the film rights. It's got to revert back to a company that has a reliable track record, at least, where you feel like, hey, Warner Brothers, Universal, Fox, Paramount, Columbia, some sort of reputable production company or a film distribution company with those rights, and then I say yes, and hopefully they would, someone there would understand what this property is, and we're not gonna dig too deep in it because we've done enough movie bashing, but yes, I think I'd like to think someday it could possibly happen, but be in Netflix form, it may be in Amazon Prime, it may be YouTube Red, but it could still very well happen. But I don't want it to happen as long as this is in the hands of the morons that currently own it right now. So, I'm gonna say yes. I'd like to think that it still could possibly happen, but praying to God that if it ever did happen, it's something that fans are excited for and not ready to go run and hide in their closets or underneath their bed or to get pitchforks and knives and machetes and ready to go chase after the director and the rest of the people who released the film.
No, I'll answer it real quick. First, I want to say hello to Ruth Gilbert in the chat room and also Grimbot too. Thank you for joining us. No, same thing. I mean, do I think a movie will happen? I mean, I don't know. I would like for one to happen, like you said, if done properly. But again, every time it happens, it goes into this crazy limbo. It's like they don't realize that we've had, like I said before, over 30 years of history for Masters of the Universe. It's like, what's hard? What are you guys not understanding when it comes to a movie? Which again, when we start talking in a bit, we're going to talk about two things where if you want to get an idea of where to start for a movie, for some ideas, you listen to what we say about a particular comic and a particular cartoon or something that was about the cartoon in general for Filmation. But you go with these elements that are being described, I'm sure you could then build upon that, make an amazing story. But don't sit there and try to go so outside of the box to where you're trying to reinvent the wheel or whatever to a property and a formula where the story, it makes sense, it works. Now just give it a update, if you will, of meaning new, of course you have special effects. Just write a good story, but build upon it. Don't change it. It's not like how we're thinking, okay, what do we do for Skeletor? Who's this guy? We know who Skeletor is. There's been a couple ways he's been interpreted, but we know Skeletor. You don't need to have him be a guy that wears a mask, an iron mask, or something else, or some nonsense about Prince Adam, or going too much into technology. Just go with what we had, with what works, and make an amazing story. So yes, I hope it can happen. But again, with the directors and everybody keep popping and leaving and leaving, no, this ain't going to start filming in April. And no, the deadline of being out in December 2019, no, it's not going to happen. Be cool, but no, it's not. And you wouldn't want it to because it'd be brushed beyond hell. So, well, before we hit our two subjects, it's funny we're talking about Skeletor because I got a question from somebody as well, Lawrence Fallon. Thank you, Lawrence. He's always listening, watching.
I figured he disappeared.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I got a question from him. He said, which Skeletor do you prefer? Do you prefer Skeletor from the other dimension, the other worlds, or do you like the Keldor Skeletor story? Well, I'll answer it first. I mean, I love, don't get me wrong, I loved MYP. And I loved, sure, it was cool seeing Keldor slash become Skeletor. We know that in the old comics that maybe it was hinted in the mini comics that Keldor, since he was King Randor's brother, maybe could have become Skeletor. He never, Skeletor didn't want anything to ever be found out. So we never got it in the mini comics, but it was alluded to that yes, Skeletor was probably ended up being Keldor. Now, see, along those same lines, you wonder what would they have done though back then in the old mini comics? Would they have had Keldor be a half-blue brother that becomes Skeletor? Or could Keldor, since he was corrupted by evil magics, could he have looked exactly like King Randor, had the same Caucasian skin, and then within the twisted magic, it turned him blue? Because I sometimes like, oh, so he's blue, and now he turns into evil blue guy. It kind of annoyed me. But then when you think about the early beginnings of Masters of the Universe and Skeletor being this being from another dimension, just a whole damn evil being that's hell-bent on power and just being, you know, the corruption of what it can cause and just ruling and dominating any world he'd want. I like evil sometimes. Like sometimes, don't get me wrong, I like an origin of things, but sometimes, damn, just let somebody be evil to be evil. So when he's asking that, and at least for my answer, I would prefer Skeletor being an evil being from another dimension. That was my favorite story of Skeletor.
Yeah, clearly another dimension for me too. I mean, hell, one of the things we'll be talking about, Skeletor is introduced as Skeletor, demon from another dimension. You know, it makes Skeletor look, it makes the universe look so much more bigger when this epitome of evil came from another dimension. Like, what dimension was that? Was it Etheria? You know, is that where he came from? Like, when he, you know, that's a kind of a fun way of tying in his ties to Hordak, is that he came from another dimension. Could be a theory. After he decided to defect from the Horde, he comes to Eternia and sees this place open, you know, open a great power, and takes Snake Mountain and builds a great faction of villains and stuff like that. I mean, it's just much much more fun.
And plus,
I'm
at the mini comic, you know, I always have, I'll be honest, I'll sometimes have trouble pronouncing it because I don't know if it's Infinita or Infinitia, but
Oh,
he
yeah,
comes.
I thought it was Infinita.
Okay, Infinita. So you see, he came from another, you know, dimension or a world called Infinita. But you're right, they expanded upon that. And then when it came Filmation, you know, I don't know in the. See, this is where it comes to you, since you're the expert in the actual cartoon episodes. If they ever said he came from another dimension, because what we're going to discuss, we might as well start right off with it. You wanted to, which is a great thing to discuss, is the Greatest Adventures of All special, where the sorceress, when she's describing everybody throughout the world, and when she describes Skeletor, she does mention being from another dimension. That's what I liked. I like that they brought that element from the mini comics, but I'll let you start off. So this is one of the things where. Man, if you want to know something about He-Man, at least how to where to start or something about characters, look and find the Greatest Adventures of All special. But go
I
ahead.
mean, frequent listeners know that I hold this sacred. This is the greatest piece of He-Man lore, period. This is as definitive as you're going to get. I would say it rivals, I mean, it's by far my favorite. I mean, it's a special. I mean, for those who not aware, in the States, The Greatest Adventures of All was a small movie released at the Mann's Chinese Theater by Filmation to help promote it, and was released on VHS in the States as well. Like, the full feature was released. This is how I was introduced to the cartoon, was this particular, not this very copy, but this tape is what introduced me to the cartoon. So
Was it ever televised?
I don't think so. I think this was strictly a, like I said, and I credit James E. Toc with the facts about it being released at the Mann's Chinese Theater as a way of promoting He-Man. As far as I know, it was not shown on TV. It was just released for home video purposes, because I mean, they had all the episodes too. I mean, the cartoon was just released for, you know, individual syndication. Then I think this was just a like a special they did, because they would also do it again for Skeletor's Revenge as well, with other wraparound sequences. But for those who are not familiar with this, because I'm sure that there are people who are probably not, Filmation decided to take three episodes and use it as a movie, like a full-length movie, about an hour and a half. This entire thing itself is, I thought the time was on there, but anyway. And as a means of introducing kids to He-Man and the world of Eternia, is this these all these three, or not three, but many wraparound sequences of the sorceress narrating what Eternia is.
Within Castle Grayskull, correct?
I can't talk. I'm getting so, because this is what happens when I'm talking about something I'm really passionate about. But it introduces what kind of world Eternia is, and building up to the definitive iconic location on Eternia, which is Castle Grayskull. And then she introduces herself, and what was such an exciting moment for me is when she appears, the music is playing, And she's so commanding in this. This is, I mean, like I said, this is the quintessential He-Man. I don't want to say, I mean, it's a special, clearly, but I say this is the best way to watch He-Man. I mean, if you were going to show anybody who is laughing at the He-Man cartoon, but they think it's cool because it's 80s and they don't take the cartoon seriously, this is what you show them to say, all right, look, jerk, this cartoon is just as serious as any of the others, if not more, to have this kind of care put in to introducing this mythology to a brand new audience of children in 1983. It's with the living pictures, the whole, I mean,
I
skeleton,
like that. Yeah, because to let fans know, I mean, there was so much unique animation and stuff that was only exclusive to that. And that's what's funny is I always tell you, I didn't rent the He-Man cartoons over and over when I was a kid. But that's the strange thing. I remember this. So I had to have at least rented that, because if you said it was never on TV, I had to have at least rented that video at some point, because I remember her doing that introduction. So I'll take it back. I had to have rented something. So that must have been it. Maybe that was it. Maybe when I was at the video store and when there was nothing, like I told you, and I'm looking, I seen that, and I was like, hey, something maybe was different about it. And also, it has what? It has Diamond Ray of Disappearance, Teela's Quest, and Colossus Awakens. Those are the three.
Those are the three, and it's with each individual episode, like the Sorceress introduces each episode in a very unique way. Like she doesn't come out and say, look at Skeletor and he's going to see him in action and Diamond Ray disappears. Like, no. When she introduces the show and she describes He-Man in this beautiful living picture of like this kind of shining sparkle, I don't know what you call it, effect, but it looks beautiful. And then the He-Man action, the anime opening sequence kicks in. And you don't see Skeletor's face in the opening sequence of this, which is kind of interesting because when the sequence ends, it opens with Skeletor's face laughing in the living pictures. It's really, really cool, which makes sense why you wouldn't have a double up of Skeletor's face. It's the only time in the entire He-Man animated series that Skeletor's face is not featured in the opening sequence.
And I was going to say that too, because that kind of took me back, because I wanted to refresh myself, so I watched this again. And you're right, when they said, an evil force Skeletor, I was like, where the hell is Skeletor? And then you're right, then it came to the next sequence, and they're like, and here's Skeletor, and he's laughing. I was like, oh, I get it. You wanted to save that impact in that moment. It was genius.
And it looks great because I mean, just when he because the vision is kind of waving, it has this wave effect, and that's what's so cool about the opening bit when you're starting out in outer space and you're seeing these stars flash by and meteors bursting, and you land on Eternia, and there's this kind of wave blur effect on Eternia to kind of help add a little bit more extra grandiose to what you're seeing. To dreaded swamps where unseen demons lie in wait, land of lush plains and things like that.
I'm glad you said that. This is one other thing I want to say, because as you know, the three-part DC miniseries, those stories were before Filmation, which remember when Filmation, when the whole stories and everything was being fleshed out, they were taking elements from a lot of the best parts of Masters history, which when some of them were the DC comics, the three-part miniseries. That's how we got Prince Adam and some of the other stuff. But I also noticed they took a good description, it seemed like, from that first three-part miniseries from DC, meaning when the Sorceress is describing Eternia, when she's like describing first, like, Eternos, the palace and the city of Eternos, she said a place of great science and technology. But she said, but then also within Eternia, there's great sorcery and magic, which, which they emphasize. And I love it because they did basically same thing in that comic, which just a quick little rewind. When we were talking way back on a possible movie and the potential of a movie, and we said that when David Goyer was showing all this technology over and over and over, it's like, you guys aren't getting, it's not just technology. There's the magic part, which again is said in some of the original comics, and also right there in this intro to the cartoon that so many fans obviously love and know. That's where most, not most, but a lot of the fans basically know He-Man is from the cartoon. Some might not be super fans of the mini comics. Some love it all like us, but I just had to say that I love her description of when she describes Eternia. I love it because it's just like the comics too.
It's very it makes it look very beautiful and just epic in scale. You see all these various shots of different planes and things, and you see the shot of the Royal Palace and the Collector flying by and the Royal Guards on their sky sleds, and then it cuts to Grayskull. And the only shot that I can think of where you see leaves blowing in the wind in front of Grayskull, it's a small thing, but as a kid, it was just one of those things. I watched, like I said, I watched this tape religiously more than any other He-Man tape I rented. This was one that if I ever saw it in a video store, I had to rent it because it just had such an impact on me. But not only was it my introduction, but it was just so damn good, the whole thing. And a lot of that was, due to the Sorceress plus three great episodes on this tape as well. And it just is a great way. There's no title sequences for any of the episodes until the very end when the end credits are running. But when Diamond Ray ends, there's a panning shot of the palace that kind of comes back and brings you as if you were watching the living pictures. And it cuts back to the Sorceress, and she shows you the heroic warriors, and opens up with Teela's quest. And same thing with Colossus Awakes. When that one ends, it cuts back to the Sorceress really building up that Skeletor almost could not be stopped in this latest, in this latest episode, that we're going to watch, so to speak. And Colossus Awakes begins, and then when that ends, this really beautiful music starts playing and showing various episodes that the kids in the theater or on VHS, that eventually you'll see some other adventures for yourself, which was the Dragon Invasion, Masks of Power, Evil-Lyn's plot, and then there's like a random shot of the attack track. So when I saw that as a kid, I was like, oh wow, I wonder what that episode is. I wonder what that one is. And when I saw the Dragon Invasion, like, oh, that's that one episode. And Evil-Lyn's plot, there's that other episode. So it was really cool, a way of introducing what I would eventually go on to rent. And it even builds up even more. I appreciate the ending even more as an adult. As a kid, it made me sad because the tape was almost over. Like, it's all over now. Now, what do I do? Guess I got to go outside and be He-Man now.
And this still, for some reason, has never been released on DVD, right? For some reason.
Nope, it has not. I have no idea why. I have it's hard to say where the footage ended up. Because I think as of right now, I know Classic Media had the rights to the cartoon, but I don't know if they lost it, because I remember we had that conversation with Brian Flynn where Universal had picked up a lot of rights for He-Man as well. So I it's hard to say based on who's got the rights why this was never released to DVD or any other form of media. It just never has been. I guess it's probably just because it was just a special that was done to help sell the series. Same thing with Revenge of Skeletor to help sell season two.
Yeah, because I just don't, like I said, I've never understood how things work. I didn't know if they had to have like the original films and reels, like, and
Well,
if
yeah,
they didn't.
I mean that's why Diamond Red Disappearance, whatever happened to the original print of that, where it lost the scene of Orko escaping the palace.
Yeah, because I always thought, I mean, this is just me being completely stupid and ignorant. And by the way, real quick, just because I know Christopher Glenn Dahlberg was wondering in the chat room, he was like, I get kind of jerky when I talk. Well, yes, I do have a horrible camera that's pretty prehistoric. And with my fast talking and moving, I will get very jerky. So I do apologize for looking like some weird animated robot in stop motion. But no, as for me, I always thought, well, what if somebody just had a really good VHS, tape, and the quality was pristine? I mean, isn't there a way they could, transfer it from VHS onto a DVD and clean it up? I mean, am I being stupid? Because I'll be honest, I don't know.
Transferred to DVD. A local mom and pop place that transfers VHS to DVDs, they've done it for me. So I get to watch it in its old school fashioned VHS quality, which is the way I would prefer to watch it. I notice a lot of the DVD transfers, like He-Man's transformation sequence and a lot of the VHS tapes I would watch, is a bit different. It's a bit off. I don't like it. So that's why I like to go back and watch the VHS quality. There's a certain extra boom to John Irwin's voice when he does the transformation sequence in the opening sequence. But I'd assume that whoever's in charge of the release of the cartoons, which I'd like to think at some point they would re-release them because as of right now they're all out of print. If you look them up on eBay or Amazon, they're not real dirt cheap unless you get like the best of season one, volume one, or something like that. Well, like in the bargain bin, like a $5 DVD. I'd imagine that's all it needed to be, and that would justify re-releasing another batch of season one and two, because you could have season one released with the greatest adventures of all feature film as a bonus feature, and then when you re-release the season two of He-Man, you throw in the feature of Skeletor's Revenge.
Yeah, because that had extra footage and exclusive footage for just VHS, correct?
And that's not on YouTube. James E. Talk said it was said a while back he was going to put that on YouTube. Well, you've yet to see it, James.
Isn't that something? But and you have that tape as well, correct?
Yeah,
Yeah,
here it
because
is.
maybe you could show everybody in case they want to try to eBay it and find it.
Yes, this is the only other tape with a wraparound sequences with specific animation of Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, and Beastman, pretty much doing what the Sorceress did, introducing us to new heroes, new evil warriors, new heroic warriors, and in a very casual way, without naming the episode, introducing us to Cat and the Spider, Trouble in Tralla, and oh God, I forgot what the other episode of Heroes is. I remember when I saw this tape, I was more impressed by the wraparound sequences than the actual episodes that were featured. I think the episodes were good at the time. But it was just really cool to see Skeletor looking at the hover screen and introducing Cobra Khan, Whiplash, Webstor, and then showing that He-Man's got some new allies, Buzz Off, Mechaneck, and Fisto, and Beastman saying, he doesn't look so tough. And He-Man showing up and scaring both Beastman and Evil-Lyn off, and Skeletor charges at him and he misses, and He-Man turns to the camera and tells the audience, hey, we got, bold new adventures coming, in the next season of He-Man. It's just kick-ass animation, and it's a crime that most fans have probably never seen what is on this VHS. And it's a beautiful cover here with Webstor attacking
True,
He-Man.
because now I will be honest, that stuff I never seen. I know I didn't rent that, and I know I probably never seen on TV. And it's something that you almost wish you could campaign for. Wish you could find the right people and say, is it possible if somebody like a fan like you that's in pristine quality of those tapes, is it possible that they can be converted for DVD? And then whoever owns the rights, the next time they release a DVD, give us that and give us the greatest adventure so we can have the stuff that a lot of fans have never seen. And for those maybe who seen when they were a kid, haven't seen it since then. Like you said, we need to see that again.
Now, I will say that the greatest adventures of all footage is available in two spots on YouTube. There's a one user, I don't know his name, but it's like it's a transfer of the VHS. It's even got the RCA Columbia House intro to it, which it's pretty much all the sequences phase into the episodes a little bit, and then it fades back into the open wraparound sequences. And then James E. Talk and his buddy Deuson. They did a trivia video on the official He-Man YouTube channel, which was a little trivia video about the history of the Greatest Adventures of All being released at the Man's Chinese Theater, and you see photos of that day where it was released, and you see He-Man and the Master of the Universe, the Greatest Adventures of All, on the marquee, and you've got Skeletor, He-Man, Evil-Lyn, and Teela in costume on the streets in front of the Man's Chinese Theater with large crowds of people witnessing this battle with them on the street.
That's cool. How do they search that on YouTube? What do they search for on YouTube?
Go to the official He-Man YouTube channel, and James has got a playlist called Trivia Videos, and it's called He-Man Goes Hollywood, and that's what it is. And him and Deuson cleaned up all the wraparound sequences, so they're all available to watch on that channel. A bit more clear than the
Nice.
standard VHS quality. I like watching both because it's I like to watch I rewatch those videos a lot on James's channel because they're just fun to watch the trivia videos. And I know he did mention a while back that he had intentions of putting up Skeletor's Revenge footage, but he's busy with the
Return
Faker
of
car.
Faker? Yeah, the
Yeah.
Return of Faker, definitely.
So I get that, but just need to emphasize that James Adusa can do it, at least for the fans' needs. So I think it's quite possible that fans could still see what that footage is, because it's beautiful footage of Skeletor appearing magically in his throne and saying, "Hello, you all know me. You know, you're all friends of mine, aren't you?" And just talking to the kids, you know,
Nice.
stuff like that. It's beautiful stuff. But the Greatest Adventures of All is by far the best thing that Filmation ever did. That the entire tape, including those three episodes with the sequences, makes it the quintessential He-Man package of the cartoon. There is nothing, there's not, by far it beats Dragon's Gift, House of Chakotay, Disappearing Dragons, Evelyn's Plot, all my personal favorites, Return of Orko's Uncle. It holds the highest standard. It's on top of the mountain. And I've never said it because I've always discussed individual episodes, but this by far, as a whole, is the best, well, movie, best cartoon that Filmation put out for He-Man. It's
Kind of
just,
gives you everything you need to know about Masters Universe.
I never get tired of watching the Sorceress introduce us, and it's just so epic as hell. Like, you really could see a live action He-Man being with voiceover of this woman talking and introducing us in outer space and all these crazy lands. You're like, where are we at here? And then introducing Grayskull, and she appears, and
And also, interesting thing is hearing her say, which what I always called this particular character when I had the toy is Zoar, you know, when she becomes Zoar the Falcon. Now, this is something, and if people in the chat room want to, in a way, say which way you say it, I've heard so many people call Zoar Zor, like, you know, when a tiger roars, roar, and they say Zor. And I've never ever said Zor, and it's not saying they're wrong, but I was like, I've never said that. And it's interesting. That's what I love again about this community is when you start hearing other people and when people are doing lives and podcasts, you start hearing how people pronounce stuff. And I just wonder, do you say Zoar or do you say Zor like a roar? And if you want, you can always kind of like type, you know, how you'd say it. But oh well, hey, Christopher Dahlberg, he right off the bat said he says it like a tiger roars. Zentron says Zor, so well, hey, so there, we already had some people saying Zor. So there you go, I guess. Well, there are others that say it. I've just always said Zoar. Again, not saying I'm right, but I said Zoar. So that had to come up. I had to say it real quick. But yeah, that again, that is, it's a quintessential thing that hopefully one day will pop up on DVD. If not, you can hopefully find the, you know, on eBay, you can find that video that Tyler showed.
relatively easy to find on eBay, and if you can come across anybody that likes to transfer VHS to DVD for money or even for fun, do yourself a favor, you know, get it relatively cheap on eBay and seek out somebody's talents who does that for fun or for a living. And because I've still had intentions of getting Skeletor's Revenge transferred to DVD so I could watch that. I haven't seen the animation see or those sequences and probably close to 20 years. I remember
I'd
very
love
vividly.
to see it. I remember nothing. I'd love to see it. No, thank you, Grimbot. Grimbot's with me. He says OR, so good man. But no, yeah, so you're right. If they can get that on eBay, transfer it to DVD if you can. If not, maybe you can find at least clips and things throughout YouTube. But
YouTube, there's two videos. Two, well, one is a full. I mean, they're both full videos. So check out the official YouTube He-Man YouTube channel. Or just type in He-Man Greatest Adventures of All, and you should. Or contact me, I'll send you the link. You know, because I've got it saved to my favorites, the VHS quality. And I subscribe to James's channel too, so I have get to both of them. But if you can't find it, contact me. I'll make sure you get it. But you owe yourself a favor if you want to see the best of the best when it comes to Filmation's animation and how serious the cartoon is. You need to check that out.
there you go. So, all right. Appreciate it. So, remember, that's one way to start for maybe any people working on movies. If you're wondering one way to start with that. And also, well, I thought somebody else, V-Dub, good man, Zoar, you say it too. Thank you. Well, another way to start is with part one of the DC three-part miniseries, Tempt the Gods. This is another one, if you talk about origins of how things should be. Well, how we said it earlier. Basically starts off, it mentions how it is a world of science and technology, of magic. And you do have Prince Adam, you have Queen Marlena, you have King Randor. Remember, pre-filmation. But of course, they look much older. But they're celebrating basically the premise of the story, which, again, we don't read the whole comic because, in case you've never read it, we're giving you an opportunity. You go ahead, you can find it online, you can probably order it. But we give just little takes and tidbits of it. But it starts off, they're all celebrating a special day. And of course, Prince Adam is late. He's not there. This day that they're celebrating is the day that Queen Marlena came to Eternia through a portal from, well, just in some miraculous way from her ship from Earth and appears on Eternia. And that's when, of course, 25 years ago, this is when she was supposed to have met King Randor. They didn't say when they conceived Adam, because you could probably say, hey, does that mean Adam's 25 years old? Well, maybe they waited a few years until they had him. But
But you have to do or they bring children into the mix.
exactly, like, hey, maybe we get to wait a couple years. Like, and Queen Marlena's like, oh, we don't wait that long on Earth. Let's get to this right now. So let's say Adam's 25. No, but anyways, so Adam's late to his own mother's celebration for her mother, when she appeared on Eternia. Now, what I like about it, he's not late by faking anything, acting like a dork or nothing else. He's out with some woman. He's out getting.
Time.
He's getting tail because he sneaks in, gets, why were you late? And he's like, oh, I had something to do. And then you see a woman, like, kind of like in the bushes or hiding, like, ooh, when you gonna come back to me, Adam? And he even says, I'm like, hold your mouth, woman. It's like, dang,
Now.
Adam's not only. What did he say again?
This is not now, woman.
Yeah, that's it. Not now, woman. So it's like Prince Adam. It's like, not only, he's carousing with the women. He's got a little bit of lip to say to them. Like, just hold your tongue. So, of course, King Randor is disappointed in his son. And, Queen Marlena is almost like, encouraging, like, oh, you're incorrigible. His attitude. But he goes back to his room. And when he goes back to his room, there's like some crazy explosion with some like demons and stuff. And he's worried about Cringer. Like, what the hell happened to Cringer? Well, when Adam hides under the bed, Cringer's there, right, too, and talking. So Cringer talked in this old thing as well. But they get the hell out of there. And they go to what some fans don't know. It's something called the Cave of Power. And that's where Prince Adam and Cringer used to transform into He-Man. There wasn't the whole By the Power of Grayskull. That wasn't even around back then. So they turn into He-Man and Battle Cat. But then Skeletor's there. And you find out Skeletor has basically, he's got the goddess, and he's gonna hold her ransom and threatening that if He-Man does not find three particular kind of talismans that can lead to these two halves of the power sword that Skeletor wants, he'll kill the goddess. So reluctantly, He-Man has to go out on these adventures to try to find these. He knows where one is. It's from a wizard named Taric that I think is right there in, well, the palace, right? In the city of Eternia. Yeah. So he has to find that where Taric's like, fighting off creatures. But you get to see a vicious side to Battle Cat talks a lot about wanting to rip and shred and kill. I mean, there's even intentions where He-Man's threatening to put an axe between Skeletor's eyes or, right between. So they're pretty vicious in this. In fact, you can see He-Man at one point like slashing through this one kind of demon. It's a skeleton demon, but he's ripping the thing in half. They mention death, killing, and have intentions of it a lot in this, but I'll pass it to you. But this is only part one. Like I said, there's two other parts, but what a hell of a start.
There's such a simplistic feel, at least, I mean, because this is the humble beginnings of the He-Man line, essentially. Yeah, this is kind of what a lot of people, and I, that this particular look of He-Man, this style, this feel, has a big fan following. I mean, and it's extremely understandable. It's a much more simpler way of storytelling, looking, I mean, it's a more traditional sword and sorcery, not so much relying, I mean, technology is used, but it's a bare minimum in this. It's this story is, I mean, it's pretty much just medieval, fantasy and, just traditional barbarian style, I guess, I guess the way you could put it. I mean, everything from beginning to end. I really enjoyed the simplicity of it. Seeing Zodak show up in this,
Yeah, wanting to do something, but knowing he can't, he's got to stay back when needed.
So, and we, of course, we get our beautiful Teela in her wonderful outfit, the blonde Teela. And I'm not gonna call her Battleground Teela. It's such a stupid way name of calling her Battleground. Get the hell out of here.
Right.
It's just a it's blonde Teela. I'll just put it that way. Battleground, it just sounds lazy and poor. Blonde Teela, because it's a completely new look. Kind of reminds me of Red Sonja, this version of Teela. Her with her pistol and everything. It's just it's I'm trying I'm
Well,
losing.
what else I liked about it that was also in this is you see not Beast Man, but the Beast Men.
Yes.
Yeah, the Beast Men. They're wielding, maces. They have spears. They have swords. They all, yes, look like Beast Man, but they're vicious and they're ready to kill and they all look alike. But yeah, there was no reference particular, I don't think, to one single Beast Man.
No.
And maybe there's one person trying to lead the troops, but eventually they're going to, Avion. And I think they were attacking for Stratos and his people, where eventually when Stratos is trying to escape and fly away, they get on some dragons. They have like their dragon riders. The Beastmen are on the dragon riders to go after him. And Stratos is trying to fly away and defend them off, and eventually Taric uses his magic to teleport Stratos away, who's wearing this one talisman, which He-Man basically is, and say, hey, look at that, he just
Yeah,
snatches it away.
right off, and when I'm back and revisiting this, I'm like, for God's sakes, Stratus, could you hand me that talisman? No, he just jerks it off his neck.
Exactly, I love it. It's like He-Man ain't trying to play all nice and everything. He's just like, damn, look at that. You got the talisman right here. It's like, wow. It's like that could have been a family heirloom for Stratos. He just ripped it off his neck. But he's like, I got one of them, which that's how it was the cliffhanger ending to where eventually you go into the second one. But no, there was a lot of action, adventures, spells. I mean, a good story, a good buildup of what's going on to lead, into the next one, which we'll discuss another time. But that's what I was saying is this. Right here, again, studios. If you're just trying to get a basic premise and idea of Masters, read this also. This is basically, again, just like all we mentioned with the Greatest Adventures of All special. Kind of get an idea of what Eternia is about. And you will realize that it's not just the science and technology. It's everything. And please implement magic if you're to make a movie. Because I feel like sometimes magic gets the short end of the stick. Like they
Oh
don't
boy,
really,
does.
yeah, they don't really showcase a lot of great magic being used. So please give us some really good magic, but no, by no means, do not just focus just on technology and give us a barren wasteland that looks like it's from a desolate future. That's not what this property is about. So hopefully this can give you an idea of also what to do.
Yeah, I think this was a good kind of tag team of reminding people that of such very specific and very important ways of, and both very very different as well, but they are very refreshing. Great reminders that you know what of why we do what we do and why this line is as popular as it is. You know,
Right.
when you read source material, as good as as this simpler stories, where it's just the core characters, it's not a big outlandish, crazy, overly scientific story. It's a sword and sorcery story, so to speak. I mean, that's why I appreciate the simplest things are often the best things. And this is a good example of that,
No, it was. I mean, like I said, it was absolutely fantastic. Real quick, Grimbat in the chat room said, no, Joe, no. He said, Hollywood hacks will read that and think, so He-Man should chop off everyone's heads? Gotcha. No, I'm not saying by any means having He-Man chopping everybody's heads off, but no, a good combination of this filmation and some other stuff could be great. Can we have violence? Sure. But no, I don't want to see He-Man just saying, hey, there's Triclops, boom. Hey, there's Beastman, boom. If there's gonna be some blood in it and some scratches and things getting crazy, sure. But no, I don't want main characters just being decapitated, sliced in half, and just being, yeah. No, we don't need that.
No, they're missing the point, to quote Mr. Plinkett there a little bit.
Yeah, so no, not by any means.
Don't you just love that when you say something to people and he goes, yeah. So it just makes Joe like either he's not paying attention or he's like, I'm talking here, or that's not important enough to me, or I have, yeah, I'm completely lost. So anyway.
That was it. You said it the last one. I'm completely
Supposed to
lost.
do that, and as if like I'm not stupid. You clearly didn't get what I said, and that's okay.
Exactly. No, that's it. Yeah, if I don't know something, I'm like, well, maybe I'll just move on past it. Maybe Tyler won't notice that. Again, Joe is clueless as hell when it comes to some references.
Joe
Like, he.
is held about a lot of stuff, man.
I am. You could sit there until Friday the 13th and be like, wait, what? Where did this happen? Like, Joe, that's in your beloved Friday the 13th. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so again, yes, this is something definitely to read, and we'll discuss the issues 2 and 3 coming up in future episodes. But yep, you can find this easily again. You can find it on eBay. You can even read this online. You'll definitely be able to find To Tempt the Gods somewhere if you've never read it. And I think it was, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, George Tuska, maybe, that did the penciling for this. And Alcala, Alfredo Alcala, did the inking for it. A lot of people didn't know that. They didn't know that Alcala did the inking on that. So, well, he had part of this too. He might not have drawn it, but he definitely inked it out. So it's cool.
His hands are on it.
His hands are on it one way or another. But now we'll try, if you guys want in the chat room, because we said we were going to open up right here towards the end, any questions you have at all. Anything about Masters, if you want, from the cartoon to the toys to the movies or whatever. There's any questions you have for us, you can pop them in the chat room right now, and we'll try to cover them. Like I said, it was something new we were going to try to do, because I always try to get to everybody in the chat room when you guys, are talking as we're talking, but it might be hard for me to go back and forth, so I can't catch everybody.
Right back.
So,
You're checking for questions. I gotta adjust something real quick.
okay, yeah, so no, definitely, yeah, if you guys want us to answer anything, we'll do that. And yeah, so, well, while you guys are typing, if you're going to be popping something up there, again, we'll do issue 2, issue 3. Like I said, we don't read the entire thing, because this, it's a pretty long comic. I mean, it's got over 20 some pages, so if we were to read every bit of it and cover every bit of it, we'd be there a while. But okay, Zentron. You said favorite She-Ra episode.
Talent for Trouble.
You love the Talent for Trouble, don't you?
Yeah, that was the first time I saw He-Man and She-Ra cross over, and seeing Grizzlor and Leech duke it out with She-Ra and He-Man in the halls of the Fright Zone, and Orko getting a kiss from She-Ra. And that was the entire package, man. And next would be Huntara.
And I'm going to give one that many people hate, but it's just because it's a favorite of mine because of a favorite character or characters, and that's Assault on the Hive. I love seeing that the Meteorbs had some kind of appearance and recognition in a cartoon. And as much as I didn't really care for Comet Cat's voice, which they made him sound like almost like a dolt and a doof, it was great to see them. Sure, I know He-Man and She-Ra are breathing out in outer space, but it was the last time that you got to see Skeletor. I think in the cartoon period, because he was in the episode too, and just to know that Comet Cat was the last person to have his claws or mouth, if you will, have Skeletor held almost as prisoner before Skeletor uses magic to disappear. So remember that Comet Cat is the last person in cartoon history for Filmation to have Skeletor in his hands, claws, if you will. Remember that. But okay, Christopher Dahlberg says, "E-Man on the Atari." Oh, Christopher. Wow. Now, I loved, again, I've been playing video games probably, well, yes, yeah, since Atari, and we didn't. That's what graphics were back then. But I just remembered it not being too damn fun for me. I mean, I was flying that damn Wind Raider, which seemed like it was forever. Then you finally get into the part where you're in Castle Grayskull, going past the blast to get up to Skeletor to do the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch with the swords to then get past and beat him. But damn it, it didn't do much for me. I'm sorry. I didn't enjoy it. I always wished it was better because I loved He-Man so much, but I didn't like He-Man on Atari. I don't know about you, Tyler, but damn, I didn't like it.
I never had the opportunity to play it, but I did have an Atari as a child, and my God, if had I had the opportunity to play, I'd have played the hell out of it. I
Yeah,
know
good.
I have.
Yeah, and you do, because especially when it's your only video game that you're getting. I mean, sure, I know they had, like computer versions later on, and the Intellivision version was the same exact thing as Atari, except better graphics. But yeah, I mean, you play with what you got, I guess. But okay, well, thank you, Christopher. Now, Adam Gabbert in the chat room, Tyler wants you to take your Triclops figure, and could you at least twist the visor for the head just so he could see like the other little looks of the visor and the eyeballs.
Well, the visor doesn't turn.
Oh, what does, wait, what, how do you do it then?
You don't.
Huh?
The
No
visor
shit.
does not turn.
Oh my God. Wait, you know what's weird is earlier when you were showing it, I was actually gonna say, "Hey, turn the visor," but I was like, "I'm not gonna even ask the question." But Adam asked, "No way! I can't believe that."
No, it doesn't turn. It's one. His head is all one piece. Like it does not. The head moves, but of course, but no, the visor itself does not move.
Well, damn, that's a nut kicker. I didn't know that. Well, thanks for asking that, Adam, and thanks for confirming that, Tyler. Wow. Again, learn something new every day. Okay. Okay, JSP in the chat room says, being as this year marks 35 years of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, do you guys think there's even the remotest of possibilities that John Irwin will make an appearance at PowerCon 2018? I will unfortunately say no. It would be nice, but I say no. What about you, Tyler?
No, I know Val and them have tried to reach out to him multiple times. He's denied it because he's insecure about his physical presence, and people know him for being the voice of the most powerful man in the universe, a big tan blonde guy with muscles, and he's the exact opposite of that. And he's shy, and he's just not he just wants to keep some to keeps to himself and just doesn't want to let fans down, I guess, from a visual standpoint. And it, they've reached out. I'm sure they probably will continue to reach out, but you also don't want to irritate the guy either. So if you're wondering why you hadn't shown up, they've been trying. I do know that.
Yeah,
And
because he likes his privacy, I know, and he's older. Is he like in his 80s? I mean, I think he just really enjoys
yeah,
the privacy.
got to be up there in age. I don't know exactly for sure how old he is, but I would not be surprised for him to be in his 80s right now. So it's just he's just one of those characters. I mean, much like Linda Gary, Linda passed early, and I'm sure she probably would have loved to have been part of the massive fanfare she would have received had she been around, to go to PowerCon and or other conventions and be praised for her talents as such memorable characters on He-Man. And it's a shame John hasn't embraced it and seen how much his work is will just live on forever. But it would be nice if he was able to see just how much is the fans love what he has done for so many of us. But I get it. I really do. I don't fault him at all for his feelings and thoughts about the whole thing.
True. I mean, would it be nice? Yes. Will it happen? Probably not, but you never know. I mean, there's always any type of possibility. But
Hey, whenever Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels would shake hands on Raw or ever come back to wrestling, or
okay.
it's much like in the wrestling business, never say never.
Anything's possible. So thank you for that question. Okay, Zentron has a question. Opinion on the sorceress being able to use her power outside Castle Grayskull? Seeing as she always can. Well, I know what you mean because, like, in the mini comics, yeah, she was popping out of Castle Grayskull many times in the form of the Sorceress and not Zoar, even though later on they tried to give an explanation with the Three Towers Rising as being the reason, but we know she did it before the Three Towers in the mini comics. And I know in the cartoon, Tyler would know there might be a couple exceptions when she popped out of Castle Grayskull in her form, correct?
It happened. I mean, in the episode Mystery Manny Faces, she just shows up outside the Widget's fortress to tell them, that Manny Face is not really a bad guy, breaking continuity right there. It's not acknowledged that, hey, I thought why aren't you in bird form? Like, no one says anything. It's just part of the story. I was trying to think of, I think there's another example of it as well, but I can't think of what other episode it is right off the top of my head. Because for the most part, she is residing in Grayskull. I mean, she can go to the top towers and be out, on top of Grayskull and things like that. But she cannot actually leave the walls unless she's in Zoar's form. So,
But Zentron, I will say that it's like I've said before. You have Skeletor, you have Evil Lyn who can use their magic anywhere the hell they want, and they're powerful. Then when you come to the heroic side of the Warriors, you have Orko, which they've had to dumb down and screw up, so he didn't get the showcase. So then you're left with only one other magic user who's now stuck in Castle Grayskull. So I always wished that the Sorceress could at times go outside in the cartoon and use power.
that about her because it shows that, you know what, that's how important a role is. Like, no, you can't leave. We cannot leave this castle unguarded. You have to stay here.
True, but I mean, at the times when she's left as Zoar for like to alert He-Man, but I will agree at I will not agree. I would like to say at some
Plus,
time.
if anybody ever found out that they're one and the same, she can never leave the castle, period. I
Well,
mean,
true. I mean, you wouldn't, I guess, at times have to see who's what and what. But let's just say if she was ever able to leave and use her powers at times, I would have liked to seen that, but agreed that back at Castle Grayskull, that's where she's more powerful. So when she's outside of Grayskull, she wouldn't be able to use as much magic and power. But I've always thought, well, what's wrong with her at least at times doing something to aid? So, but no, that was a good question. I mean, yeah, I can understand. Let her be super powerful in Grayskull, but I wish we could have seen her at times do something the hell out of outside Castle Grayskull. But let me see if there was any. You see, it's weird as I'm scrolling here, it's kind of jumping. So if I'm missing somebody's question, I feel bad because I'm. It's when I scroll, it kind of does a real quick herky jerk. And hold on, I'm trying. Hold on 1 second. Let me see. PlayStation, come on, John. Please, surprise. Okay, autographs. I'm sorry, I'm getting a. Yeah, maybe there's another po oh, just a lot of people in the chat room were talking about John Irwin in general. Documentary, Teela's Quest, sort of retcon with Origin. Yeah, so there might, I don't think there was any other questions. There was just kind of like comments from what we were saying before.
that's cool.
So yeah, so okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, we just wanted to hit some before we wrap it up. So thanks for everybody with, at least ask. Wait, hold on. Everybody's overpowered. Well, yeah, JSP said Christopher, well, he's in reference to Christopher Dahlberg, said Christopher, they always overpower the sorcerers either while outside the castle or within the aid of some other forces, object, etc. So, well, there you go. And Christopher Dahlberg, no, Orko and Driel never did tie the knot. It would have been interesting, but hey, maybe when the cartoon went off the air, but okay, well, again. We love all you guys in the chat room. We appreciate you being here every week. We love your participation, your questions. Like I said, every week we'll do that. When we end the show, right before we end it, we'll open up to you guys in the chat room to have us. You can ask us any questions you want of anything. So, but before we wrap it up, I'm gonna pass it to Tyler. If you got some recommendations or anything you wanna give shout-outs to.
Not particularly, just a reminder to check out Greatest Adventures of All on YouTube. Check out Kevin Sharp's artwork. Check out Axel Jimenez's artwork. Again, for people who are not aware, or as a reminder, PowerCon tickets are available right now. And I think the hotel that it's being damn it, I'm losing the hotel where it's taking place at. The rooms are selling out relatively quickly, apparently, as well. So, if you're looking to travel to it, try to book your room relatively soon or someplace relatively close to it. Check out heman.org as well. You know, if you're not familiar with a lot of stuff, some of the stuff that we talk about, like if you don't have a copy of Tempt the Gods, that is available on heman.org to read the entire thing. If you don't feel like shelling out the money to buy it, go read it over there for free. And the rest of the miniseries as well. So, check out heman.org for that very thing as well. Don't think I got anything else to share there, bud.
Okay, all right. Well, that's plenty of stuff that you did do. Now, I want to give a shout out to somebody. Sean Scavarna. I showed this on my Facebook live that I did at one time, but I haven't done it here, and I want to show everybody. I made reference before to my boy, my partner, right here. Zilverrex, the most obscure, crazy, goofy character in Masters of the Universe history, which that's the only full body art of official Masters of the Universe, art you've ever seen of Zuvarex. And Sean Scavarna said, "Hey Joe, I'll do something for you, man. Who you want? I like picking obscure people. I like picking somebody that maybe you haven't seen drawn 8 million times." And I was like, "Man, can you do Zuvarex?" He's like, "I'll give it a shot." He's like, "You're testing," he said, "my skills here, and like of what I'd want to do." And he sent this in. Holy crap! You seen what I showed to Zuvarex? This is what he sent me. This is insane. I don't know. Is this? Can you see this good enough, Tyler? Because I can't see anything.
Clear as day.
That is freaking awesome. The detail, I was like, wow, you took a character that nobody's ever really seen or known of, and you made him look wicked as hell. So, Sean Scavarna, you can find him on Facebook. This guy does amazing art. This, like I said, it's going to be getting framed up. I kept it out of frame so I could show it without a glare. Woo, that's a doozy. So, thank you, Sean, for sending this to me, man. This is one of the damn coolest pieces I think I've seen. So, thank you so much. But yeah, you can find him on Facebook, and he has the artistic geekdom of Sean Scavarna as well on Facebook. So, if you guys are looking for commission work or pieces or something, check him out. So, okay. Well, again, thanking everybody here, just as Tyler did in the chat room. It was amazing having you, and I'm just going to tell everybody where you can go. You can go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
I'm your Huckleberry.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, wait, I'm gonna leave it for a second open to people in the chat. I want to see if anybody gets this because to let everybody know, as usual, Joe's a loser. I have no clue what that is, and I just want to see if somebody pops up knowing it. And JSP is saying too easy. Okay, Jeff Primes or Christopher Dahlberg. Oh God, everybody fucking got. Oh, sorry, everybody got it. They say it's
Look at
Tombstone.
that! Look at that! Joe's letting his anger of not getting a single movie quote ever right just
It
really
keep?
hurts him on the podcast live.
I can't believe everybody. Tombstone, Tombstone, Doc Holliday, Tombstone. So
And
guess what?
this Lovejoy to pop up and say, "Well, someone think of the children here." After Joe just, look what Tombstone did to Joe there.
I don't do this on the show. I apologize for dropping that F-bomb. People was like, oh, come on. How can everybody get this? I really am a moron. So,
What
okay.
a gullible. What a maroon.
What a room. There you go. All right. No,
You know what
I.
I'm putting when I say that?
What a maroon. Oh, yeah, that was from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
No, God, no.
What did you just say? You just said, what a maroon. Isn't that what they said
That's
in.
what the bunny says, not Roger Rabbit.
I thought that was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit too. What a maroon. I know they said it. Okay, damn it. I don't know. Please somebody tell me that they did say that in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ask the people in the chat room who says what a maroon, Bugs Bunny or Roger Rabbit?
Was in Roger Rabbit. I know somebody said it. They were calling each other a maroon, probably because in reference to Bugs Bunny.
They're called maroon tunes, but they were not. No.
All right, well, JSP did say Bugs Bunny. Christopher Dahlberg did say it was in Roger Rabbit. So there, I'm half right there. I get some credit.
He was in
Okay.
Roger Rabbit, but there is no. When I say water of maroon, I'm quoting Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, no, I meant no, it wasn't Bugs Bunny who said it in Roger Rabbit, but somebody else said it in Roger Rabbit. I just couldn't remember who said it, so that's why I thought you were quoting whoever said it in Roger Rabbit. I know I'm not nuts. Somebody else did say it in that damn cartoon. Oh, that's it. V Dub, yeah, thanks, V Dub. V Dub said Roger Rabbit. Okay, there's. I'm probably gonna have a breakdown. Everybody, I suck.
They're probably just
Okay.
sorry for you right now, so they're just. I could say, stay frosty and alert, Joe, and you go, "Hmm." And then everyone say, "Oh, well, Joe, it's from Jaws. Just say it's from Jaws. We'll all support you for it."
I have to start stealing from the chat room. Okay, guys, this ending is taking 5 hours. All right.
Call aliens. I'm just saying you could say, "Oh, it's from Friday the 13th, Part 6." Like, well, no, it's not, Joe, but everyone's going to tell you it is just because they feel.
Jeff Prime just said, poor Joe, these quotes get him stressed. Isn't it crazy? We always try, we ended here that the ending will go on for like 20 minutes of insanity, but okay.
Fresh bowl of Jack Daniels there and a cheese sandwich. I want to go get drunk now.
There you go. All right, thanks guys. See you next week.
Later, guys.